At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. This podcast is actually going to be called SI Media with Jimmy Traina going forward. You may see that switch when you're listening to this. You may not. We're trying to get it all settled. So little tweak of the name, new logo. Hope you like it. Send me some feedback. I like the logo a lot. So hopefully you guys do, too. And a new era here as we go forward. And we have a great, great show to kick off here with the new title and logo. Chris Berman, the legend from ESPN, joins the SI Media with Jimmy Traina podcast to discuss Super Bowl, NFL, NFL primetime, Swami, and a bunch of other stuff. Really fun interview with Berman. Then we have Sal Licata and Traina Thoughts following Berman. Get into a lot of stuff about the NFC and AFC title games, Super Bowl stuff, just, you know, usual banter with Sal and Traina Thoughts. Before we get to it, had a great interview last week with Good Morning Football's Jason McCourty. Got a lot of good feedback on that. A lot of people liked the interview, so if you missed it, check that out in the archives. Chris Long was on the pod 2 weeks ago, Troy Aikman 3 weeks ago. So go into the archives, check those out. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Leave a review on Apple. We have a giveaway with Brady Brand in the Traina Thoughts segment. And if you leave a review, you can win some Brady Brand underwear. So a lot going on this week. We got a name change. We got a logo change. We're doing a giveaway. And we've got a legend in Chris Berman on the pod, followed by Traina Thoughts. We kick it off all right here on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, very excited to have him back on the SI Media podcast. He was one of my first guests when I took over a while ago, and it's great to have him back. The legendary icon from ESPN, they call him Boomer, Chris Berman. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Jimmy. Legendary is kind, but you got my check, so thank you.
Well, listen, you know, I'll start here by you know, doing a little kissing of the butt. You know, Sunday, after those two games, flip on ESPN, and there you were. And I'm a very, very big nostalgia guy. And I grew up in the 80s. I think the 80s is the greatest decade, and I'm all about the 80s. So when I see you on my television, not a streaming service, not my iPad. Sorry, ESPN PR is probably flipping out. When I see you on my TV after a big football game on a Sunday night, it just feels right and takes me back to a much better time.
Very kind. I'm a late 60s, 70s guy. We can debate the era later, but the 80s were great. Hey, that's when primetime started, to segue perfectly for you in 87. Yep. You know, it felt good going on right after a really good game. I mean, forget the nostalgia part, Jimmy. Chiefs, Bengals, if about 2 minutes to go, you said the Bengals are going to win. Well, no, they're not. Now we're going to go to overtime. Oh, no, we're on. Oh, no, we got to wait for the trophy. I missed that rush myself. Now, we've done primetime on ESPN Plus, but It's like taking a sip of Coke Classic, right? Like we're back on, not the new Coke, not whatever, but the real thing. And it was fun to do it. And Keyshawn was with me. You know, it's the one time I work with him. So it was fun to see him because we worked for years on both morning and evening. And Booger has been a gift. I hope you see some of what we do on ESPN Plus. He's been a gift. Tommy is Tommy, okay? But he's Tommy 2.0. I'm very lucky to have him.
You know, I've had this idea in the back of my head to write it, and I haven't written it yet, and I will eventually. But I think Booger McFarland deserves an enormous amount of credit after having a rough time on Monday Night Football. Was not helped by ESPN putting him in a crane for some reason. But he has become an excellent, excellent studio guy, NFL and college football both. And has done, I think, you know, something that's really difficult to do when you have this high-profile gig. Doesn't work out for whatever reason. Not blaming him, not blaming anyone else, but it didn't work out. They move on. And he's become an excellent studio host, in my opinion.
Absolutely. With not his idea to be in the Booger Mobile, but you take a chance. I mean, oh, no, it's not for me. Are you kidding? Of course you have to do it. So, therefore, it's he can't, the perception, to your point, oh, he can't do it. Well, no, none of us could do that, okay? But what I did see from even then was he actually sees stuff on the field quickly, and there's a replay, and he knows football. It's not just from a defensive tackle point of view, okay? Because you don't see, obviously, the whole field when you're in the trenches. Here's what Booger is behind the scenes. First of all, he's upbeat, and he loves and he knows football. Second of all, I might be behind Jimmy. This is now going a little graduate level here on a highlight a little. Let's say it comes in late. You know, half the 4 o'clock games, we never see it. There's no commercial on the plus version, right? So I'm handed this stack of the late games, and sometimes we don't even know who won, frankly, because I can't look at the monitor in there during a commercial. So we're doing it. I might be behind, and there might be a shot for him to get in, but I'm a little behind. It's not a problem. And I look over to him and throw him something about late game that ended, that the Seahawks beat the Cardinals, blah, 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 where it seemed to me that such and such, we didn't go over it because the game went that way in the fourth quarter. He's got something intelligent to say, an excellent observation, and it's not look at me. What more do you want? I learned something from him. And then it's back to me and we go to the next thing. So thank you for recognizing. And to know college and pro football inside out, I think is hard.
Yeah, I do. And I like that he doesn't talk down to the audience. Very relatable the way he speaks to the viewers. I should have mentioned, bad job by me, Boomer will be on after the Super Bowl on ESPN, after the Eagles and Chiefs, for his annual Super Bowl post-game NFL primetime show. Now, tell me, how did it, because in setting up this interview, in my head, I was talking to ESPN PR, and I know you're on after the Super Bowl, and I figured that'd be perfect to get you in this week. Were you always supposed to be on after the title games, or did that come about late on TV? I mean, you were going to do it for Plus, but it was on TV, and I was just wondering, was that because I was shocked when I saw you there, pleasantly, but I was surprised.
Sorry, the phone's ringing.
That's we'll okay.
But no. So when I, quote, ended my full-time gig, the countdown, the prime time, not prime time, you know, everything we did in, later on, et cetera.
Right.
So I stayed here at ESPN. That's before Plus was even invented. So it was figured that we would do Championship Sunday, and Tommy came back to do it with me. And
that's
and
what I forgot. Okay.
Super Bowl, you're still going to do that among other duties to stay on staff, admittedly not exactly the same. And then Plus came a couple of years later. So the chicken came before the egg, Jimmy, you know?
I forgot you. I thought you just did the Super Bowl on TV. So
these two.
I should have known that. And it is amazing how primetime still resonates for so many people. I want to ask you this before I want to talk about primetime, let alone we'll get into the Super Bowl. Take primetime away, because I'm curious, because you did it. And one thing I've always said about primetime, no matter how anyone feels about you, ESPN, that was, you know, it's not an easy gig doing those highlights like that, the way you did them. for you, outside of primetime, you can't say primetime, what do you think the greatest sports studio show is of all time, not including primetime?
Well, that's a really good question. Because, you know, primetime for me, you had to watch it. That's not the question you asked. Yeah, forget that I'm doing it or Tom Jackson's doing it in those days. You had to watch it. If you like football, you got only three games on TV. And what happened in the other 11? Well, here you go. You know, Seattle 45, Arizona 42. I didn't see any of it. Here you go, whether you like me or not. Huh. Of all time, I mean, now I'm going historic. So, well, I was a big fan of Brent Musburger because they were, you know, the NFL Today, because it's amazing to think that we did, you know, an hour, then an hour and a half, then 2 hours, then 3 hours. And they did 30 minutes, which is like a burp, Jimmy. I'm not knocking them, but they were new. In other words, primetime was a new show, but the NFL Today with Brent and that crew, I thought was, well, it was the best. And he was the best. So for football, a weekly show, I'd have to say that. All time, maybe one of the most important. And now you may have seen, well, you've seen it, but maybe not as a kid. Wide World of Sports, when that was in its heyday, right? I don't count Monday Night Football as a, I mean, you talk about a studio show.
Yeah, I'm talking about College Game Day, Inside the NBA, NFL Today, anything where we see a panel, studio, before, you know.
Go ahead.
The NFL Today, it's funny, my podcast listeners, if they're regular listeners, have heard me talk about this numerous times, because over the summer, I finally read that book that came out about the NFL Today. I think it was called You Are Looking Live, and I could not have loved that book anymore. And I mean, listen, I was a kid when that show was on, and I remember it, and in being in the media, I know it's iconic, but when you read that book, you really get a feel for how groundbreaking it was.
It really was, and in a different way. I don't want to put primetime with it, but for a highlight show, that was groundbreaking too. Now, obviously, that show was not my idea. That was Steve Bornstein and Pete Rozelle. They cooked it up. You're going to have Sunday night games for only the second half of the season. But for the whole season, you can do this show, which will eventually lead into the game, but it's never been tried before. So, to be groundbreaking like the NFL Today was, I give it. Now, all those shows you mentioned are outstanding. It's not limited to just football. And any show, what I just started to say, and then I'll get on, and you can pick your own. I mean, Ernie and the NBA. I mean, the College Game, that was groundbreaking to do it on site all the time. That still is. But there's others that do it, but that was landed on the moon first, right? Yeah. So any show in which there is genuine, not camaraderie, I'm not putting this in order, Jimmy, camaraderie that comes through the screen that me or you as a viewer go, oh, I'm enjoying sitting down with these guys or women or both or whatever it is. Okay, now let me listen. Oh, they're actually giving me insight without going, look at me. Anything that's natural like that has a chance to be really special.
It's a little bit of an unfair question because there are different criteria. I mean, we talk about NFL Today was groundbreaking. Your show, Primetime, you said it best, and you have to be maybe of a certain age to understand this. You had to watch NFL Primetime. There was no, before Sunday Ticket and the internet, and all, if you were a football fan, you had to, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. You had to watch your show. And the way you guys did it was obviously tremendous. From a power standpoint, I think that's where Inside the NBA comes in. Mm-hmm. Charles has so much power. That show has power. Every player watches it. You know, I don't know, with your show, it's different. Players probably weren't, maybe if they had a 1 o'clock game, were watching primetime, but they're usually traveling. The Inside the NBA is a player's deal. Yours was straight, the NFL fan. Like I said, it sounds so simple to say it, but this was the truth. You had to watch it. There was no choice.
Well, yeah. No matter,
that's where you got highlights.
I would have watched it. The one thing I would say, and I'm finding out, well, I found out later on, obviously, is coaches watched Don. I may have relayed some of these stories to you before. Don Shula told me in an owners meeting late 80s. So we only started in 87. You know, I watch your show every week. Like, why? I like football, which he does. He goes, I get some things out of it. I said, Coach, you have coaches film. He says, no. Let me tell you what I get out of it. Let's say it's a year that we, the Dolphins, are playing the NFC East, and we play them once every 4 years. And in about a month, I have the Giants, let's say, on my schedule. Now, your highlight is not, you know, but I will, I might get some tendencies. I'm not studying it, you know, replaying it, this and that, but I might get a couple tendencies by watching your Giants highlights 4 and 3 weeks before we play them and have my guys go look into this for me. Now, this is late 80s. Bill Belichick, I mean, just to name two names, but by the way, they they're the two guys that won the most games in pro football. So the fact that they even watch, he goes, do you understand, Boomer? He goes, I was a, you know, let's say defensive coordinator, assistant coach, and all the games weren't won. The Giants, you know, unless it was an odd Monday night, all the, we always played at 1 o'clock.
Right.
We, with our kids, and maybe some of the other assistant coaches and their kids, and of course, that's including Steve and Brian Belichick, who are coaching now, right? To put it back, we'd rush home and watch it as a family. And I'm going, really, Bill? Like, he didn't tell me that this year. I've known this for a long time. And so, It was for more, and the players watched it, I think. Maybe not to the degree of, you know, the NBA today, you know, the NBA show with Charles and all those guys. They watched it, and I loved it.
Yeah. I don't know if you're a big computer guy, if you're, you know, you YouTube.
Oh, God, no.
No, okay, because I have to say, I will, every now and again, I'll go for that nostalgia play, and there are old prime times, I mean, full episodes on YouTube.
Are there?
There are. And, you know, every now and again, I love going back to that era with like Natron Means and Christian Okoye. That was like the wheelhouse I felt for primetime and, you know, for me with falling in love with the NFL. If I'm not mistaken, I think Twitter and social media had fun not too long ago with an old primetime clip of you with doing Mike Allstott with all of the, you know, boom, boom, booms and, you know, noises and, you know, it's great stuff. I'm glad at least there are some full episodes on YouTube. You could, you know, people can go check out if they want to.
Well, you're in good hands with Allstott, you mean, right?
There you go. Last thing on this, then we'll talk about what's going on currently in the NFL. I know there were rumblings that the NFL Network may have come after you. Did you ever entertain the thought of leaving? I mean, you've cut back, obviously. You're in this, you know, sort of retirement, but you come out, you do Super Bowl. Did you even think about ever leaving ESPN, or did it never even get to sort of a negotiation stage?
Well, that was not when it, quote, in 2017 was changing. Right. Well, specifically the NFL Network, that was, I was never going to leave in retrospect with George Bodenheimer as president, although he's one of my and remains one of my great friends in life, an ESPN lifer. Steve Bornstein was head of NFL Network then, but they were never going to raid. Steve couldn't raid me. That was only if it went sideways, which in retrospect it would not. Right. There were a couple of times, Jimmy, that, and not often, and it's funny you mentioned this today. I didn't know we were going to go this direction, but I have a funny story at the end of this. Because a song came on today that said, well, if he goes this way, I have a story to tell. I hadn't thought of this in a while. So there are a couple of times. But the real big one that's been written about, and that's way before, was 89. Now, ESPN was a different place. We only were one channel then, remember. So NBC, and that was Dick Ebersole, primarily. And Terry O'Neill was his right-hand man. They put an offer out there that was, you know, times three or four, which, okay. That took a while to get resolved. I did tell Steve at the time, Bornstein, to look, this is not, but you got to get within a nine iron. I don't know what that means because I don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
And he did, and we didn't. And my God, it's the greatest thing, greatest move I never made. Look, they, at the time, I was going to be the number two guy behind Bob Costas doing football. Well, football had just come to us, okay? And you may do it in a couple of years, but whoa. But I'm so just job wise, forget money, this, yeah. And I'm not in it for that anyway. I mean, I started at $16,000.
Well, I'll just say this. Let me just say this. Everyone gets very funny about money, but here's the to me, if any, no matter what you do in life, I don't care what your occupation is, if someone comes after you and is offering you 3 to 4 times your salary, you're going to listen and entertain it. I don't care how happy you are at your job. I mean,
right.
You wouldn't be doing yourself fairly if you didn't investigate, if they're offering you that much of a difference.
Well, it was. And my late wife, Kathy, and I, we had so that would have been 89. We had a 3 and a 2-year-old. So to your point.
There you go.
And there you go. My God, where is this coming? It's coming over the mountain. But, I remember music playing a role. One of the things I thought was, even in the press release, I said, it's a Bryan Adams decision. This is not the story I was going to tell you. It's straight from the heart, you know. But it got out a little bit. I mean, that was not the point. I wasn't leveraging anything. And again, thank God. I mean, I've been here 43 years. But I got some beautiful letters because it took 6 months. I got some beautiful letters from viewers. And a song I heard today on the radio was Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan, wrote it. The Birds sang it. A letter that has stuck with me. I don't remember where this gentleman was from because it's the 80s. And he said, Boomer, don't let your boot heels be wandering. And whoa. So that hit me on a lot of levels. Like this person, a stranger,
right,
got me. At any rate, look, ESPN has been nothing less than a dream come true. We get to do sports every day. You know, the networks compared to what we were doing. Yeah, you're quote big time in 89 or 90s versus, but we were a rocket ship. The cable was, and we were, and we get to do it every day. And we get to do every sport. We make, to your point, and then I'll get off this. We don't have the Super Bowl. ESPN's getting it in 4 years, right? ABC. Right. Yep. We're not doing the Super Bowl, but we're covering the week. We don't, you know, the NBA, NHL, baseball. Even if you don't have it, you're covering it.
Yep.
So, where else would you really rather be? And the greatest move I never made.
Yeah, I just have to ask, as the media nerd in me, I'm dying to know, when NBC made you that offer in '89, was it to do play by play, studio? What was the gig going to be? Because they didn't have Sunday night. They didn't have Sunday night football then. It was Sunday afternoon.
No, and it's a good question. It wasn't completely laid out like Bob's not going to do football for us, so you will do football, but not next year or whatever. It wasn't completely figured. Here's one. this is a good question. I hadn't thought of this in a while. I mean, I don't know where they were. It wasn't really for play-by-play, except they were not in the golf world of all things. And this wasn't me either pushing it. They were going to do like 8 events, not major. This is not like NBC now, or, you know, like we know with the Golf Channel and Tommy Roy and everything else. They're going to have some other golf events. And they were thinking about having those 8, let's say, maybe Fuzzy Zeller do color, even though he was still playing and he and I were friends. And you would be good doing that. You know, in retrospect, it sounds like an easy decision not to give up what. And at that point, I was still on SportsCenter every night and having a blast doing it. And so it wasn't late. I'm probably forgetting details. It is 89, Jimmy. I'm old, you know, so I forget things.
I get it because I'm trying to put the pieces in my head together. So it would have been. Yeah. I mean, listen, it all worked out for them. So I always love when, you know, that. Would someone leave? Why would they leave? If, you know, what's on the tape, you know, if they're over, it's, you know, back then, like I said, it was Sunday afternoon. So maybe not as sexy as if they had Sunday night, you know, it's a whole different. So that's what I'm interested in, why it interests me.
Well, it's like Yogi, the late Yogi would say, when you get to a fork in the road, take it.
Exactly.
Well, that doesn't solve the problem. So right, you always wonder how your life might have changed, right? I'm sure yours too. If I had, it doesn't have to be professionally. It could be marriage. Could be different college. It could be anything. You wonder how it would have been, just out of interest, viewing it from 20,000 feet.
I started at Sports Illustrated in 2000, and I had I left for a 3-year period to go to Fox Sports' website, and I always think about what if I didn't, because now I'm back here, and it turned out to be the wrong move, but, you know, that's life. You go through it and deal with it.
Well, Sports Illustrated also still, for our generation, carries. My mom worked as a researcher for Time Magazine for 25, 30 years, so we had Sports Illustrated in our house.
Yeah.
Before I could read, you know, it was on the table.
I appreciate that. Let's get to some current NFL. Well, you're going to do the post game of the Super Bowl. I'm sure you wanted Bills Niners when the playoffs started.
Well, at some point we'll get it.
At some point you'll get it. Although I have to say, I mean, let's touch on this, because no one knows the Bills better than you, circling the wagons. We're 2 weeks, 3 weeks out from that game. I still can't figure out what happened to Buffalo in that game. It felt like they weren't there. It was bizarre. There was something off. And I'm not talking about just the play. Like, they never seemed like they were there that day. It was a very bizarre performance, I thought.
Yes. first thing to say properly, and I will, is that the Bengals from play one to play 100 were better.
Yeah.
But knowing the Bills like I do, and knowing that city, Western New York, like I do, and this wasn't told to me, but these are human beings playing all these games and doing these shows and doing other things. I wondered, going into that game, all right, Buffalo, with DeMar Hamlin, thank God, the news is, it's easy for us to say, it's not good yet, but it's...
Right.
Compared to what we don't have to go through. I mean, compared to what it could be, it's unbelievable. That week was the most normal they had had with him. Obviously, he was there. They could see it was going to be okay. Easy for us to say. So you say, okay, now they're ready to go. Well, let's start from there. 3 weeks of their brother, if you will, say no more, right? I mean, that's right. Real, and you don't sleep, and you don't, although you're concentrating and you're playing and you have a job and everything else. So 2 6-foot snowstorms where I'm not a player. I have a baby and a wife, and we lost power one night. We have it now. All of a sudden they're plowing us out. We're going to Detroit. Are they going to be okay? Yes, they're going to be okay, but I'm not sure. It just sounds like a huge excuse, all right? But 2 6-foot snowstorms from November on, you know, before Thanksgiving. The shooting in the supermarket in the summer, it's just a very big deal in that community in August, I think. So it's not that nobody else has this, and there are others. I wondered, well, certainly after DeMar Hamlin, how much gas to get to this point? I don't mean the Bengal game, even the week before with Miami. What they won, but they weren't great, but they won, right? How much gas did they have to use to get to this point, and how much is left? You asked me the Buffalo side. Yeah. Anyone from Cincinnati seeing this, say, well, he ate poo-poo. No, the Bengals were outstanding, but...
Yeah, the issue isn't that the Bengals beat the Bills. It was that the Bills just seemed like just lethargic and not, there was no intensity, playoff intensity. And it's funny, I had heard someone, I forgot who, because it was 3 weeks ago. It was one of the NFL experts who I trust. I heard him on a talk show, saying, and this was going into the New England game. It was the first game after the Monday night game against Cincinnati with the DeMar Hamlin situation. And he said, the Bills are exhausted. The Bills players are exhausted. They barely slept because they were, you know, and it was all of us. Imagine us. We were waiting 2-3 days for the positive word on DeMar Hamlin. Those players, his teammates, like you said, his brother, I'm sure they didn't sleep a wink for 2 or 3 nights. So going into that Patriot game, one of the experts, quote unquote, said the players are exhausted. I figured by the time, though, 2-3 weeks later, when the playoff game, Cincinnati, when that rolls around, but I, you know, you're probably right. It probably, the whole thing just took a toll that they were probably never able to sort of get out of.
A couple of players quoted after and weren't using it as an excuse. It was not
right.
I think individually were asked and said, I don't know what it was. They never said we. I read the couple quotes. I tried my best. I just didn't have it today. So not going, oh, look at everything we've been through, because everybody goes through some things. But it was just, and since, by the way, that Cincinnati team is outstanding. So you need more gas than usual to beat them. Right. I mean, they struggled with New England. Not that they're supposed to walk over them. The Bills that we saw obliterate, the Rams, the Super Bowl champ on the opening Thursday night, where no road team ever wins in the home of the Super Bowl. Nobody. And the next week they clobber Tennessee. So it's almost impossible to sustain that anyway from September brilliance to January, same thing. But the season took a toll on a lot of people. And you can't quantify it. It's not like he missed the block because of that. Or And the Bengals were really good too. So
your other team, the Niners, I mean, that, you know, I tweeted Sunday morning that I was so pumped up for those two games because it was the four best teams. The cream rose to the top. Here we go. Let's do it. You had a great story there with Purdy. The games in Philly with those fans were animals. And I mean that in a positive way. So you're there for the atmosphere. And then after the first quarter, it's not a real game. It was such a bummer. The Niners played with no quarterback for three quarters. The whole thing was just a disaster on so many levels.
Which is nobody's fault.
Right, nobody's fault at all.
I mean, even if – well, what I said on primetime was it's like they had to play the single wing. Yeah. Now, in the 40s, you know, Kittle said after the game, well, we had about 15 plays, different running plays. That include maybe one to him, two to Debo, and McCaffrey. It's like a boxer going with one hand tied behind his back. That, again, you feel bad. Well, so Philly did. No, Philly did what they were supposed to do. It was pass rush at Reddick that ended up inadvertently knocking Purdy out of the game. We'll never know what would have happened. The only thing in the game-wise you wonder, because Philly wasn't, for them, great, although they won 31-7. So it sounds stupid saying that. They had, when the Niners got the ball down 14-7 with a minute 20, whatever it was, I think they had a pretty decent kick return to the 33, I'm going off the top of my head. Booger and I said, I wonder if they're going to not kneel, but just run. Right. Or they try something to maybe get a long field goal. It's not that cold, and maybe Robbie Gould can hit a 50-yarder, and it's 14-10. And they threw a pass and was complete on the first play, Josh Johnson, right? Oh. And then, of course, the very next play, here's the fumble, the shotgun, and Philly at 21-7, it's over. So it was already, in retrospect, over. Yeah. But 14, and I'm not saying they were going to get a field goal. So let's say it's 14-7, and I think they got the ball in the second half. I don't remember. With Josh Johnson down by 7, and if it stays 14-7, that Niner defense is stout as hell.
Right.
And maybe here's a fumble, but at 21-7, and then Hurts took over running 5 or 6 plays on that drive, and I wonder whether that was to show not only him that you can do it and take a hit. Of course, you can.
Well,
whoever they're going to play in the Super Bowl, that you better watch this. He may not be 100% by his own words, but he's good enough for that. But here's the thing, and the only thing I've heard is, and they will probably go back, Jimmy, to address the emergency quarterback who can only go in if those two quarterbacks never get in again. Right? Are they going to win with the fifth? No, they're not going to anyway, except it would have been, here's a pass to Kittle of 11 yards.
Well, that's the point. What they were not able to attempt a forward pass in the second half. I mean, I think Purdy came back in. I think he threw two passes that were in the air for 2 yards. So that, to me, I mean, they weren't going to score. They weren't going to come back and win. But they had it at 21-7. which is not insurmountable. It was insurmountable at that point, but they had a 21-7 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. We're about to get the ball back, and then they got that terrible roughing the kicker, which should have been 5 yards. The refs, of course, screwed up. Shocker, 15 yards. Eagles get the ball, and then, you know, forget it. So they were even, I mean, the fact that it was only 21-7, 3 minutes left in the third quarter, about to get, that was even stunning.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Let me ask you this before we, I'm just curious. Obviously, for so many years, the Swami, Friday nights, the pay. Now, let me start with this. This just came to my head. I mean, we're in a whole new world now than when you did the Swami, because now we have legalized gambling. Mm-hmm. The NFL is in bed with every legalized gambling company. There's lines on the pregame shows, everything. Now, Roger still doesn't want, he doesn't want NFL media out there saying, give me the Chiefs minus one. You know, he doesn't want Joe Buck and Kevin Burkhardt saying, oh, the total's 54. But this cat's out of the bag in a way that it wasn't with the Swami, where you had to just give the score and we knew, us degenerates knew what you meant. So is there a part of you that's a little pissed that you're not doing the Swami in this era when it's a little more, not when it's less taboo?
No, actually, I wish it wasn't all this. I have my long opinions about, I don't know that everyone should be this in bed, and I'll leave it at that. All right. You probably agree. But being said, the cat's out of the bag anyway, right? Whether the league is doing ads or all the leagues or not. No, as I look back at it, that's a really good question, Jimmy, because I've thought about it, you know, because I haven't done the Swami since I stepped back. So the last year of the Swam was what, 16? Right. By the way, the final pick ever made by the Swami.
Yes.
Now, I didn't have this path correct. Nobody did. I had New England by 6 over Atlanta in the Super Bowl. Uh-oh. Now, of course, I didn't say, yeah, they're going to be down by 28-3, and they're going to go to overtime. But the final pick ever, I don't remember the score, was New England by 6 over Atlanta. So I for that, it was better to have a walk-off homer, if you will. Or touchdown. I almost enjoyed a lot, because of course I had to do with the whole Swami career and et cetera, the wink wink,
right?
A little bit of it. It's going to be a lot closer than expected, or they're going to win pretty big. And I always had scores that were at least 3 off of the spread. Of course, you tape it Friday and could move a little, but you get the gist. I kind of liked. And I never worried about over-under. Like, some of my scores were 3-2. You know, when the Rams were playing Brett Favre, I think I had 78, 75. Yeah, I mean, just
right.
Because it's
having
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's an over? No, I just think it's going to be offensive. Okay.
Right.
But I like that we did it then that way.
Al Michaels always says cheeky. He wants to keep it cheeky.
When yeah, he's referencing that's very spread. Good. Yeah. He was great on, you know, and they're down to the 10, and this might be of interest to some. I liked it the way I was doing it. No, I don't miss doing it now because no one, here's what's interesting, Jimmy. Mm. No one really, yeah, and it was really letters, and I'm not going back to the 80s, but even early, like, oh, you told me this would win and I'm annoyed at you. I got very little at that.
Right.
Very little, because I'm doing my best, but no one's saying that.
Well, because yours was, I think, because you did it in more of a fun way than a gambling segment. You know, you weren't doing the Jimmy, when Jimmy the Greek did it, that was like, you know, you're thinking, okay, this guy's, you know, in the hallways with the getting backdoor information. And you did it. It was a fun entertainment bit with a little gambling mixed in.
Yeah, I did a little more backdoor discussions and people know, but I wasn't getting the assistant trainer to tell me on Friday morning. Of course, Friday morning, you don't know if a guy's going to play anyway, right?
Right.
So there was none of that. But and I have my teams. I mean, so there were certain years of my teams didn't do well. It's like the proverbial foot in the bucket. But we had more good seasons than quote bad seasons, and it was fun making five picks and rooting in the room to go 3-2 every week.
Right. Now betting on the Super Bowl is, you know, Americana. It's American pie and fireworks. We got the Eagles -1.5 against the Chiefs. If Chris Berman were to make a legalized wager, where would he go on Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, as we speak, and we should tell your viewers and our listeners, it's what, Tuesday. So we don't know that, oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes, his ankle's worse. I mean, we don't think so. So we have to take that into consideration, although to try to predict what that will be 12 days from when you and I are almost to it is almost impossible. Well, there's no spread. The beauty is you get to pick a winner, really. I mean, they could, you know, the Philly could win by one and you don't. It could be a 2-point spread, but it's not going very much farther than that, I don't believe, as we speak.
Right.
I would lean to the Chiefs as we speak, but that's not a, again, now actually, here we are, assuming Mahomes is fine and Kelce look fine. They ended the game with one receiver who you know about. I mean, Tony was hurt and
Juju.
But Schuster was hurt, and Sky Moore was used as a punt returner. They used three punt returners in that game. He fumbled like three times earlier this year. Well, he had the big return that we all saw in that final minute. He had another one earlier. So do they have receivers? Do they – but what I – it's hard to say who will have a better game. The Philly front wall, which is, you know, Reddick, and my God, they play seven or eight deep, including Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, two guys drafted by Andy Reid when he was there. Like, Andy still has three players on the Eagles, the third being Jason Kelce, who are big contributors, right?
Yep.
I'm digressing. So I think I would, you know, Patrick Mahomes is special. We all know that. I would lean to the Chiefs, but that's far from oh my God, why are we even looking at this game? The Eagles had a walk over San Francisco. They're not that good. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
38-7 and 31-7. I don't care what you say. We put this up on the show. I don't know if you saw it, which was interesting. And I may get this wrong. There are only five teams that won the division and the championship game by, what was it, 17 or more? I don't have the graphic in front of me. And they were some of the most legendary teams. They were the 89 Niners. They were the 85 Bears, who shut everybody out of the NFC and then 46-10. They were the 62 Packers, who went 13-1 and beat the Giants at Yankee Stadium. So and I think it was the 88 Niners, which they were not, well, they were the 49ers, they were Joe Montana, and I'm forgetting one other. Or maybe, no, maybe the Eagles were the and will they. So I never thought to look at that.
Yeah.
If you're an Eagle fan, you kind of like what that looks. I just.
Oh, if you're an Eagle fan, you better realize Patrick Mahomes isn't Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy / Josh Johnson / Christian McCaffrey.
They know that. They know, but they're going to have a good time thinking that he is.
That's
right?
True. That's
they're going to have a good time out in Arizona. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We've talked about prime time. We've talked about the Swami. Obviously, another thing you're known for were the nicknames, which I'm sure you're sick of talking about. But here's my question. Have you ever had an athlete come up to you, reach out to you that didn't like their nickname, their Chris Berman nickname?
Very few, because that's a good question, too. It's a funny story. So 80s and 90s, when I was doing the baseball all the time on either the games or at Sports Center at night, and I did 10 Sports Centers a week, blah, 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 as we all did. They kind of liked the little notoriety. You know, none of them were derogatory. That's important to know.
Right.
Nothing was, you know, Mike Witt, Mike Jim Witt. No, mm-hmm. I would never use that, you know. So Kevin Bass, a good guy, really good guy. At the time, you know, Houston was an all-star. He played a long time. All-star outfielder with Houston. He came up and goes, you know, Chris, I don't know if I love the nickname. Because he was Largemouth Bass. And I said, well, I don't mean anything. He goes, I know you don't. He was very nice. I know you don't mean anything wrong by it, but it makes me sound like a big mouth or a complainer. And I, you know, I thought for 5-10 seconds, not to be flippant at all. I went, all right, let me ask you this. How's Smallmouth Bass? He goes, go with it. And so so we went with it. So not many, because it was all in fun and never at their expense.
Yeah, I meant it more as like, did someone maybe say like, oh, mine should be more fun or more, you know, not right. That they were mad about it, you know.
Well, George Brett came up. I mean, that story's been written. George and I remain great friends. Early 80s, how come we don't have more nicknames? Well, the Royals, George, are you kidding? Like, I don't know. I mean, well, what's my? I said, well, George, you were already George Brett before I got on TV. I'm not calling you like Wonder Brett. Like, we're Johnny Bench. They're already Johnny Bench. I mean, Johnny Bench is a layup nickname, right? Like, you could come up with 18. Not doing that. So it was kind of like a blank canvas, but you were grandfathered in almost like an NHL player who was playing without the helmet, Jimmy. They're already playing. They get to keep the helmet off.
And did some players have two nicknames? Because I think when I talked about watching some old prime times, like I said, I love that era with Natron Means. And I always thought it was Natron Means Business.
Yes.
But then I think you had another one for him, because I remember watching it. Now I can't remember what the other one was.
It was really because it was on the delivery too, because he bowl guys over. As you remember, Natron Means Business. Now, the ones that had more than one nickname, there were a couple in baseball. It was perfect. The Mike Felder, remember him? He was an outfielder with the Brewers and a few others. Well, depending on what position he played, he was left, center, or right fielder. and then the classic, Jim Gott, had four nicknames, pitcher, Pirates, and others. Jim got the win, Jim got the save, Jim got the loss, Jim got no decision. So he had four. Yeah. The football one, oh, I'll tell you one. So Eric Bieniemy, it's still obviously in the news.
Great one.
And a great person. Chargers, Niners, that Super Bowl. Media day. We're laughing and this and that. I love my nickname, Sleeping with the Enemy. Then he goes, my wife's not too fun. I said, all right, tell her I'm not implying it. She knows, but I thought that was funny.
My all-time favorite will always be Burt B. Home by 11.
You know why? Every parent said it. Every kid heard it. You don't have to know he was a pitcher. Yeah. For the Twins or the Pirates, you don't have to know he had a curveball. You don't have to know he won a lot of games. You just be home by 11. Okay, Dad, you know.
Do you ever, you know, I'm just thinking, because when we talk about Natron Means and you talked about how he has those powerful bursting runs. And now, I don't know if you watch Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, who's a friend of mine, does the Angry Runs, and he's incorporated a lot of the sounds. And we see a lot of people incorporate the sounds, and I feel like they're all doing it sort of as an homage to you in a way. When you see that, do you think, yeah, that's, you know, it needs some noise there. Let's get some noise going on that run.
Yeah. And if they are doing it as an homage, I love it, but I don't, yeah. I didn't patent it. So,
right.
So it's descriptive. And yeah. when doing highlights, Jimmy, whether it's Kyle, me, or anybody, and I try to tell our youngsters, you know, when words and pictures are match, it's 1 + 1 = 3. So if you want to go and there's Natron means business or Mike, you know, good hands with all stock. Well, you're watching, you don't look in the camera and say, you do it while he's on the 3-yard line trying to score a touchdown. And it's same with the whoop. I mean, that's Barry Sanders, by the way. I mean, that's, right. But it's really the Three Stooges. Did you know that?
Yes, think Larry Moe Curley. Sure.
Right. So, yeah.
Give me a player today. I mean, you do primetime on Primetime Plus, but who's the player today you love calling a highlight for, who gives you the sounds, who you get excited for, gives you a good run, gives you a good chance to beat Chris Berman that we know with the highlight?
Well, it's a lot easier with the quarterbacks than it ever was, obviously. I mean, you can take a half dozen. Mahomes is one of them, but Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, when he's healthy, we're seeing it from Jalen Hurts. I mean, and I'm leaving a couple out because they're going to throw that Kyler Murray, that extra point that took about 30, the fastest 3 minutes of extra point, 2-point conversion. The mobile quarterbacks all give you a chance to do it because they're not even – maybe they're not throwing it right then either. They're making a move to buy another 5 to 10 seconds. So Josh Allen maybe because, again, Buffalo. But any one of those that I just mentioned, and with apologies to a couple I might have left out, it's a different game behind the center, obviously.
Yeah. Last thing, there's nothing to do with sports. You mentioned it earlier in this podcast. You've always loved music. We've seen you throughout the years. I've seen you on stage with Huey Lewis and the Eagles and all that. There's an ongoing joke in sports media that every sports media white male over 40 is obsessed with Bruce Springsteen. I'm not a Bruce guy. And then people on Twitter, I get nasty responses when I say that. Are you a Bruce guy like everyone else?
I don't know Bruce personally. I did see him a long time ago before I don't even know if he had Rosalita out at that time. So, but look, I got to be great friends with Huey Lewis, the Bay Area, and he had me on stage 15 times or whatever. And I can sing okay. I mean, for one song, you know, and it's a song he didn't sing unless I was there walking on a thin line. It was an add-on. Nobody wants to hear Chris Berman sing The Power of Love, okay? So, for good reason. And it was usually an encore where people had a few already, right? So, hey, it's great. Now get off. Glenn Frey became a really good friend. Bob Seger is a very good friend. I'm not name dropping. The ones who are sports fans, I got to know. And those were among my favorites. I mean, I could mention about 20 more. But Bruce,
give me an artist you never saw in concert who you wish you would have seen. Dead or alive, doesn't matter.
None of the Beatles. Well, I mean, you know, they'd be hard to, but I've never seen Paul or Ringo.
You've never seen Paul? I'm surprised by that.
No.
I saw a Billy Joel concert. It was the last concert ever at Shea Stadium. And Paul was a surprise and did two numbers. Can I count that as saying I saw Paul McCartney in concert? Okay.
Yes. Yes, that's it. You're in. Hold all calls. You have a winner.
I'll take it.
I'm trying to think. Well, the Beatles, that's as big. I've seen most everyone else. I do want to throw one thing out to you before we go. Super Bowl. So it's people can think about this. The previous two games in this building, which they hate when I call it the big toaster, by the way, because it looks like a toaster, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Put the English muffins in and we're on, right? The two Super Bowls, Jimmy, in this building, were the Patriots going 18-0 and 19-0 except for the last minute. Say no more. And the game that changed the paths of two teams last decade. by New England, Malcolm Butler picking off the Seahawks at the one. Had Seattle won, two in a row for them. Maybe they have a chance for three in a row because that defense stays together. And all of a sudden, New England, three unbelievably tough losses, go from 3-0 to 3-3. Oh, they can't win the big one. I'm not saying they can't. So the two games in there were seminal moments for not only, I mean, for football history. So with two number one seeds, maybe we get one of those. I mean, the easy thing is, oh, Mahomes shows how, but maybe it's an unbelievable game that Philly and Jalen Hurts knock them off, but it's one of those. So we're set. The stage is set in this building for something great.
I would be shocked if we don't have a one-score game in the fourth quarter. I think they're very evenly matched. I think the Mahomes ankle is a factor. You know, I'm a little bit skeptical with the refs. The refs always come in and seem to make their presence known when we don't need it. But I'd be surprised if, you know, this is not super competitive in the fourth quarter.
I agree.
And that's all you want. And that's all you want.
No, I completely agree. At least no, but yeah, we got quarterback. The starting quarterbacks are playing. You know, as opposed to the championship game, this should be great. One score either way, and it might be a sack by Reddick or those guys, or Chris Jones, or them that changes it. And it's not the quarterbacks, you know. But in the end, this is going to be a great game. I feel good about it. We don't get the number one seeds all the time.
Right. No, I agree 100%. 100%. And everyone can watch Chris after the Super Bowl, Chris Berman on NFL Primetime on ESPN with Booger McFarlane and a cast of characters, I guess.
No,
you have all the reporters.
Steve Young.
Right. And then you get all the reporters on, right? You'll have like Schefter and all them. And obviously interviews with the players after the game. So ESPN, ESPN Plus for post game of the Super Bowl after Eagles Chiefs, anchored by the legendary Chris Berman. Chris, appreciate it. Enjoy the Super Bowl in Arizona and the toaster, and we'll hopefully talk to you down the road.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for being patient today. I'm a 20th century guy, not 21st. You just learned that. Although you've edited this show beautifully.
Yes, no one will know about the Zoom problems. Don't worry about it. All right, take it easy.
Take care of yourself. Happy thanks. Super Bowl.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, joining me now for our weekly Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Well, I just finished a few minutes ago taping an interview with Chris Berman for this podcast. And
oh,
I had a few minutes in between. So, of course, what do? I go on Twitter and I'm scrolling through and I see a picture of you and you've got glasses on. When did you get glasses?
Oh, my God. My eyes are shot. I have reading glasses, really. Or like when I'm at work for when I'm writing a TV show, I need glasses for the computer. It helps me out. So, yeah, it's been a couple months.
And how's that treating you?
I'm getting old and it sucks.
Why glasses over contacts?
Oh God, I would never get contacts and I don't need them. I don't need them all the time. Yeah. So it's just for, I think short, stuff right in front of me. I'm having a hard time seeing as I get older, but I only tweeted that pic so I could show the Islanders jersey to, you know, upset people.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I mean,
no, I mean, it will, People get upset because of Islander stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's a whole story to it, but you don't need to get into it.
I've had glasses since college, so it's not just for old people.
Really? And why haven't you gotten contacts?
I don't do well with touching my eyes. That would just gross me out.
Ever thought about surgery or anything?
I did way back when, but I don't know. My glasses don't bother me, so I never really
I will say I'd prefer, now that I have to wear them at times, I'd prefer to either have it all or nothing. Like it's annoying.
A pain in the ass with the on and off.
Yeah, and you got to bring them with you or whatever. I only really use them specifically at work, but I probably should be using them other areas as well. But that's it.
Got it. All right. How to get that taken care of. What did I thought Sunday was such a huge disappointment. I was so pumped up. The first game was unwatchable. And then the second game. Gene, what do you think, Gene? Gene, let's go to you, Gene. I mean, the fourth quarter was a complete debacle in that game.
You've been talking about this for years. And I know we've been talking about this on the pod for a while, but you specifically have been talking about how useless it is for years. And it was unbelievably overbearing during the championship game.
They don't need to come on and tell us what we're seeing. They need to come on and explain a rule we may not understand. And don't come on if you're just like Pereira. If a referee pulled out a gun and shot someone, Pereira would go, "Well, it was justifiable. It was probably self-defense. He's all right." Like the Eagle guy pushes the Niner guy into the kicker and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's a clear 15-yard. No, it's not. You could say the ref messed up. It's not. It's okay.
What did Olsen say on that? Your boy Olsen. Did he get on him?
Well, you could tell. No, Burkhardt and Olsen clearly thought it should have been the 5 instead of the 15. And they sort of gave Pereira the chance to say that. But, of course, he doesn't. He has to defend. There were two issues with Sunday. Pereira just gets on there. And no matter what the ref does, the refs are right. It's terrible. Sterator, he actually said the refs got a call wrong with the holding. The problem with the Steratore, which wasn't Steratore's fault, is that Nancy Romo went to him on every single play in the fourth quarter. It became unwatchable.
Right. It was like a three-man booth. Nobody wants to hear what Gene Steratore has to say unless it is a game-changing play that we don't know what is happening. We need a ref's view to let us know what is going on, which, by the way, now with all these different angles, we don't need it. We know what it is.
There was that one play where Burrow hit the ground. And 5 hours after he hit the ground, the ball came out. Nobody in America thought it was a fumble or close to a fumble. And they're like, "Gene, what do you think?" Well, I know what Gene thinks. Gene thinks it wasn't a fumble because if you have functioning eyesight, it's not a fumble. I mean, it was clear. Like,
even I could see that without my glasses on. We all knew what the case was.
God, I feel like Fox, like Burkhardt and Olsen, they go to Pereira sparingly at least. So for the Super Bowl, it shouldn't be that bad. But again, if like Darius Slay takes out a baseball bat and whacks Travis Kelce with it and the refs don't call a flag, probably like, there shouldn't be a flag on that play. So what's the point in having him?
Did you get any shit for the amount of tweets that you were sending out about that? I mean, obviously you're somebody who's in the media, so you have a ton of friends in the media or connects in the media and
I only sent like 3 or 4 tweets. Is that a lot?
Oh no, but they were prime time. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, let that be a lesson to everyone. Quality of a quantity.
You had to get some kind of pushback, no?
No, I didn't get any pushback. Huh? I mean, no, I'll tell you where I got pushback. I didn't get any pushback on the Sterator stuff. None. I mean, you get maybe there were like one or two people who were like, you're beating a dead horse or enough.
Right.
Maybe
right.
one or two. Where I got pushback was from Eagles fans trying to tell me that the Eagles-Niners game was a real game.
Oh, God.
Yeah. If a team is playing without a quarterback for three quarters, it's not a real game. No. And again, no one listens. Like, here's the thing. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. The Eagles should be in the Super Bowl. The Eagles are a very good team. I take nothing away from the Eagles. This has nothing to do with the Eagles. This has absolutely nothing to do with the Eagles. The Niners played three quarters of the game where they were not able to throw a pass. That's not a real right. game.
Right. We got robbed of the NFC Championship game. There's no way to
because Phil
that.
Sims went on CBS and says that the Eagles won the game in the trenches. Phil, it wasn't a real game. The Niners couldn't use their playbook.
Now, easy on Phil, will you? I love Phil Sims. I saw that tweet, too, taking him out.
Well, the Eagles won the game in the trenches. No, the Eagles won the game because the Niners at one point were playing Christian McCaffrey, quarterback. They couldn't throw the... If you can't throw a pass, it's you're. What do you expect? They couldn't get a first down.
Once that happened with Purdy coming out, the game was over. Right. We knew it. So, you're right. It was just non... It felt like it was going to be non-competitive, and it was after that.
Now, I do think the... Then we got to the Bengals game.
Which I thought was a great game.
It was a great game, but I don't like a game that's determined by a penalty. And the penalty was legit. He hit him out of bounds late. That call will always... There's never going to be an instance where that flag's not thrown. So it was a legitimate call. I feel terrible for the Bengals player. But that decided the game. Because a couple of things. Everyone's all hot and bothered and worked up about the play where the Chiefs ran the play. The ref said, we blew the whistle. But that's one case where the dopey refs got it right. The clock didn't stop when it was supposed to stop. The referee's running in, blowing the whistle. Nobody hears or sees him. He was stopping. They got that right. And here's the thing. The Chiefs didn't score on that drive. The Chiefs ended up punting. So it didn't affect the game. The outcome of the game wasn't affected. The outcome of the game was affected on the late hit out of bounds, which again was the right call. But if he doesn't hit him out of bounds there, they have the ball like the Chiefs have the ball like the 42.
Probably going overtime.
I think they were maybe 13 seconds, so they're going to run another play or two maybe or something like that. And you could have a fumble, an interception, a holding penalty, an offside. Anything could have pushed him out of field goal range. So that's why I say that penalty, late hit out of bounds, determined the game.
Right,
and
that ruins the game for me. See, I thought it was a fantastic game. I'm not going to let that penalty ruin it for me. The great back and forth. It wasn't like the Bills-Chiefs game, which I thought was overrated, where there's zero defense. I like when teams actually get stops and guys have to punt. And how about the Mahomes play to then get that penalty? Like the fact that he took off to run for that on the ankle, my God, what great drama. What a giving it goosebumps. What a great play. Yeah, it's unfortunate that the penalty clearly aided the Chiefs in winning the game, but to me it was bigger than that, and I try not to let that – look, it did mar the ending. There's no way look at it otherwise, but that was a fantastic play by Mahomes that caused that penalty to even happen.
What I'm a little tired of what's gotten annoying for me is every single player is either, like, disrespected or the Chiefs, they counted us out. Who counted out the Chiefs? People may have said, like, oh, we don't know what the Chiefs are going to do because of Mahomes' ankle. Nobody counted out the Chiefs. The Bengals with the Burrowhead stuff. I mean.
Well, the idiot mayor as well.
Right. These people don't understand that you should lay low.
Right.
And not everyone's disrespected. No one's disrespecting the Chiefs.
But whenever you hear one thing, you're going to use that as fuel and make it like it's a million people. I don't think that there are a lot of people that think Patrick Mahomes is washed up or Burrow's better. But the talk, certainly from Cincinnati, Burrow had this, Burrow had that. Oh, and there was talk around the league, hey, Mahomes has to win this game because Joe Burrow's on the verge of becoming the golden boy of the NFL after what they did to Buffalo. So it wasn't I necessarily, but a lot of people were kind of disrespecting.
My point is, I can't take someone seriously saying that because it's just so dumb. Right. Like Mahomes has to win this because Burrow's coming up. What is Joe Burrow hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. So can we relax?
Right, but it would have been another loss at home to the same quarterback and same team. Like, it would have just knocked Mahomes down a peg. He didn't have to win the game, of course. He's still a great quarterback. But, like, it would have been, wow, there's a new sheriff in town. And Mahomes,
I guess what I don't like, too, is – and listen, this is the world – this is the sports world we live in now. I mean, listen, you do a radio show. This is sort of your bread and butter. I mean, I probably do it. I don't like that, like, we have to have, like, declarative judgment. Like – can we, like, we don't have to judge Patrick Mahomes' career right now. He's probably going to play another 10 years if he's Brady 20. Like, we don't have to make a judgment because already it started. If he wins another one, he's chasing Brady. Can we relax with chasing Brady? 2 versus 7? I mean, he's not chasing Brady until he gets to like 5.
Right.
You know, who's better, Mahomes or Burrow? Why does this have to be determined now? Like, can't we just enjoy what they're doing now? No, everything's got to be who's the best, who's chasing, who's the, you know, like, they're the two best quarterbacks in the game. Nothing else needs to be said.
I agree. I think you could have a conversation about it, which one you'd rather have right now, potentially, but I don't get caught up in that because we're living through it. I've never been a fan of discussing that. Just let's watch it and see how it played out. And obviously, on that day, Mahomes, as great as Burrow is and everybody loves him, Mahomes was the superstar of the game.
But he always has been for the last three,
I know. But specifically with the injury. I think the injury takes it to another level.
I agree. Because, well, it was interesting because, you know, when he got hurt in the Jacksonville game, was it Jacksonville?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, I said all week, I may even discuss this with you at some point, you know, because everyone, you know, people tech, who are you betting? I'm like, I'm nervous because I said to every person, like, we're not going to know how Mahomes is until the game starts. I can't. Right. Now, I texted a couple of players I know, ex-players. They all said there's zero chance he's going to be close to 100%. Then Saturday, Sunday, he's fine. He's not limping. He's there. Okay. Then the game starts and he looks great. And then after a few minutes of the game, it looks like he can't move again.
Right.
So you're on like such a roller coaster with that, you know.
He definitely was not 100%, but it's remarkable what he was able to do. And then the ability to run it at all, and especially at that particular moment, I just thought that was a performance for the ages. And I love that Romo was comparing it to Jordan and all that, because that, to me, that's what it was. That will be one that we look back on in 20 years. Or, hey, remember that AFC Championship game Mahomes played on one ankle and beat Joe Burrow?
You're the one person who may have liked that because everyone was livid that he brought up Clyde Drexler, which, again, I think now what's happened is Romo is now in the Joe Buck category where people are just bashing him to bash him. That's what's going on now. I mean, I've never seen a turn like this in my life. This is like when Sergeant Slaughter went from like being Sergeant Slaughter to supporting the Iraqi war. Like the turn for Romo with these people on Twitter and even around the media, I've never seen anything like it. I think now it's totally the Joe Buck syndrome where it's the cool thing and the in thing to bash Tony, so everyone's going to bash him. Tony was not that bad on Sunday. I'm sorry.
I had no issues with him. I have a bigger problem with Nance. Oh, somebody in the booth coined this the Andy Reid Bowl. Yeah, nobody else in the world thought that Andy Reid going against the Eagles was going to be an Andy Reid thing. Jim Nance, the only one. He's got a lot of soul. I have more of an issue with him than I do Romo. I thought that they were fine, though. So did I.
My favorite thing of all, though, is that the refs had an atrocious game. They don't know what they're doing out there. NFL rigged is trending. And then now the referee in the Super Bowl has called the most penalties the last two seasons. Called checkers.
How do they – but they judge that based on grading this year, I'm assuming?
I guess, yeah. Now, he was picked to ref the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But no referee in the NFL has thrown more penalty flags or had more penalty yards in their games than Carl Cheffers. And now he's doing the Super Bowl. And if you're a betting person out there who did not re-trade a thoughts on Tuesday, January 31st, Carl Cheffers has reffed 12 postseason games. The unders are 11-1.
Wow.
Yeah, because every time there's an offensive play, he's throwing a flag.
So you're betting the under?
Although they did say he also has the second most PIs called this year.
Hmm.
Well, the total's 49.5. I probably will bet the under. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I can't decide who I'm betting yet.
I haven't even given it a thought. Although I'm rooting for the Chiefs, so if I am going to bet, I probably bet them. Just because I don't want to. I get making money is a priority, but I don't want to root against the Chiefs. I can't root for the Eagles, even if I think they're going to win. So
you still hate Nick Sirianni?
No, I don't. I saw his
daughter.
His post-game. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that plus he's, you know, his last name ends in a vowel. I should be partial to that, even though it really doesn't mean anything to me, but he's all right. I get why he's got a punchable face and he does things that are very unlikable. But you got to give the guy credit and show some respect. He's in the Super Bowl, so he knows what he's doing.
What a turn in 1 week. I love it. Look at you, Yvonne.
Yeah, I know.
Last week you hated him. This week you see him with his daughter and you're all softened up.
He softened me up. That's exactly right.
It was a
right.
phenomenal clip. It really was a phenomenal clip. He had to scold his daughter.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'll tell you what's not phenomenal. Did you see the Joey Bosa clip?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
Joey Bosa, very unlikable. So Joey Bosa is at the Eagles-Niners game to watch his brother Nick Bosa, obviously.
Okay.
And he's standing outside of the stadium, whatever it is, the link or whatever, like waiting to go in. And the Eagles fans, of course, are giving him the business.
Right. Shocked.
Now, obviously, we don't know what was said before the video starts, but the video starts and the Eagles fan, you know, you suck, Niners, you know, that whole business. And he goes, now instead of just walking into the link, he walks towards the heckler and says to the heckler, oh, what are you taking a Snapchat to send to all your butt buddies? Which is not a comment that flies these days.
Right.
Okay, so that's number one. Then he walks away. He starts to enter the stadium. And they're still giving him, you know, you saw, oh, I think the fan goes, how'd you like those fines? How'd you like paying those fines? Because remember in the Jacksonville playoff game, he threw the helmet and bashed the rest. Right. He then goes back, approaches the fan again, instead of keep walking, and he goes, I'm rich. I can afford those fines. I'm not poor like you, like a little bitch like you. Calls the guy a bitch.
Oh, God.
Okay, so the last time we saw
calling him a bitch is not, to me, that's the least of the issues. Saying you're rich, not like you, and the other comment that he made.
Right. Well, the last time we saw the guy, he's throwing his helmet, getting 2 15-yard penalties, and then now we see him, and he's fighting with an Eagles fan. Like,
you got to be better than that. You got to.
What are you doing? Just walk into the stadium.
Right. Ignore it. What do you think was going to happen when you go there? What are you going to take on? You know, 80,000 people, whatever the place holds.
What do you think the Eagles fans are going to be sober and say, "Oh, nice to see you, Joey"?
Yeah. Right. Can you sign this for me? I mean, please.
Yeah. You know how it gets. You're a heckler. You're a heckler. We'll read reviews next week because I'm going to do something here real quick. We've got
Our friends over at Tom Brady's company, his apparel company, Brady Brand, want to do another giveaway here. So Tom Brady's apparel brand, Brady Brand, they just launched a Valentine's Day shop, and they've got brand new Heather Crimson colorway underwear to give away to three SI Media podcast listeners. So all I'm going to make this very, very simple. Leave a review on Apple. Mention the Brady Brand, but that you're in this for the contest. Leave any positive 5-star review on Apple. I'll put the names in a hat of whoever leaves a review. Three winners will get a pair of the Brady Brand Heather Crimson colorway underwear. And all the Brady Brand stuff is now in Dick's Sporting Goods. So you get all the jogging pants, underwear, t-shirts, long sleeves, all that stuff from the Brady Brand at Dick's. So leave a review on Apple and you'll win some Tom Brady, Brady Brand underwear. Speaking of Brady, he's not going to be part of Fox's telecast, but I love the fact that Burkhardt, who we both like, you know him way more than me, and Olsen have all this momentum going into the game. Olsen has become a huge fan favorite, so it really works out nice that their season's not over and they get one more game. I think they're going to have a great call, Burkhardt and Olsen. They'll have Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi on the sidelines. You know, they'll be good. So I'm expecting, you know, Rihanna at halftime, Eagles, Chiefs. There's everything to look forward to for the Super Bowl, except for the refs.
And Pereira, in your case, you left him out. But no,
I said, they use him sparingly. So
I'm excited for them because at first it was jarring to have Fox lose Buck and Aikman, right? And thinking that, wow, not only are they losing their top team that they've had for years, but you're elevating Burkhardt and Olsen, a relatively new team, and they're getting the Super Bowl. That is a big deal. Those guys have gotten better and better as the season has gone on. Yep. And you're right. They are now, I don't want to say they're peaking, but they're certainly ascending to where I expect nothing other than a great big-time broadcast. They have a big-time feel when they do a game. So I love it. And this has nothing to do with me being a friend of Burkhardt's. They are right now a clear top broadcasting team, no doubt.
So you can get into like all the X's and O's and how Olsen breaks down a game and all that stuff, but it also comes down to this very simple thing. When I'm sitting on my couch, like a big blob on my fat ass, and I'm watching the game for 3 hours, is it an enjoyable listen? Is it, you know, are they annoying me? Is it...
Right.
Do you like listening to, you know, and they fit that. They're a very good, solid listen.
Right. I judge a broadcast crew, first and foremost, am I getting annoyed by this broadcast crew? And I do not have that with them. But that's like the first thing to pass. They're way beyond that. They have that big game feel. I think that's the greatest compliment you could pay a broadcasting team. They have the big game.
They are getting that, yep, for sure.
Which is hard to do because we're so accustomed to Al Michaels or Joe Buck and Aikman. It's hard, or Madden and Summerall, whatever it may be. Hard to cut through as a new team to have that big feel they have.
Madden and Summerall, known as that's the greatest broadcast team in the history of sports. Guess what? They didn't use a rules analyst. Don't need it.
Right. I would put Madden and Summerall right there with either Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan or Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura. Those are my top three. If I
One podcast will have to debate what was better, Gorilla and Jesse or Gorilla. I mean, I think it's got to be Heenan. Because here's the thing.
Jesse was so good. Or Vince and Jesse, I guess.
I was going to say, the argument is Vince and Jesse against Gorilla and Bobby. Did you watch the Royal Rumble on Sunday? Saturday?
I did because I was Chelsea Green, who is the wife of Matt Cardona, who I become somewhat friendly with. I listen to their podcast, whatever. So there were rumors about Cardona potentially being in it, you know, Zack Ryder.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Rumors, or did you get the inside scoop?
No inside scoop. I could have gotten it and it would have said no, but I wanted to just stay away from that. We knew Chelsea was going to be there and she was in the Women's Royal Rumble. So I had it on specifically for that, and that was it. You watched or no?
I watched the Men's Royal Rumble, which was the opening thing, and then I watched the Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens
I didn't watch anything in between that.
I have not been into wrestling in years, but I cannot believe that Sami Zayn is now like one of the top guys.
It is kind of crazy.
Sami Zayn. I mean, you guys.
Well, it's all about. Let me just say this, okay? We're taping this Tuesday night at 7:05 right now, and I'm getting freaking pissed off. For a half hour, I've been trying to bet over 27.5 points for LeBron James against the Knicks tonight, and I keep getting communication error on DraftKings. DraftKings, get your shit together. I need the over 27.5. The game starts in 25 minutes. LeBron and MSG, he's going to go for 40 tonight. This is free money.
First time back there since, I think, 2020, since January 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
These websites, these gambling apps, there's always chicanery. Always chicanery. Yeah. I don't appreciate it. All right, Sal, we'll do a lot of prop bet stuff next week. We got to read reviews on an upcoming episode. Anything this week that we missed?
I don't believe so, but I'm not
100%. I don't think so either. All right.
I don't really come prepared. By the way, I was at the Islander game the other night. I walk in the door. I got invited to the owner's suite. Guy sees me. First thing he says, I listen to you all the time on Jimmy Trina's SI podcast.
Get out of here.
I was like, you mean the fan? You mean WFAN radio that I do? He's like, no, SI Media podcast. I swear to God.
At the Nassau. Oh, no, they don't play there anymore.
UBS.
UBS. Do they play any games at the Nassau Coliseum anymore?
No.
So you walk into UBS, and it wasn't someone you knew. It was just a random.
Correct. Just random. Yeah.
And he says, "I love you on Jimmy Train." Not WFAN every single night, Sunday through Thursday, 2 to 5 on the Fan. Not Odyssey SNY, app if you're out of New York.
Not SNY, not WFAN. Jimmy Trina, SI Media Podcast. I'm telling you, I've gotten that a lot.
That's great to hear. We're changing the name and the logo of the pod. I'll be curious what everyone. It's officially. See, as we're taping this, the change hasn't taken effect. But by the time this comes out, the change may have taken effect. So instead of the SI Media podcast, it's SI Media with Jimmy Trina. Going to massage my ego and put my name in the title take out the word. Because we looked at it and like podcasts don't. Some do, but most podcasts don't have the word podcast in their title.
It'll take a little, adjusting, a little getting used to, because it just rolls off the tongue right now. SI Media podcast, so now it's going to be SI Media.
It's all about pumping my ego up because it used to be the SI Media podcast. But what I'm always going to have to say now when I plug it verbally or written is SI Media with Jimmy Trina podcast. You have to stay podcast at some point.
So next Thanksgiving, when Jim Nance is giving you a shout out, it's going to be specific to the SI Media. What is it again? SI Media with Jimmy Trina?
Forget that. Did you hear Howard Stern mention my name this week?
No, he did?
Yeah, I put it on Twitter.
How? I must have missed that.
Because he interviewed Stephen A. last week or 2 weeks ago. And I had written that it was a phenomenal interview. It really was. You would enjoy it a lot as a sports broadcaster. Right. How he came up. He didn't really have a father issues. Right. Really good. And every day on the show, Howard does like feedback, does viewer, listener feedback, emails, blah, blah, blah. And he said, we had the Stephen A. Smith interview and people liked it. And it was, excellent interview, said Sports Illustrated's Jimmy Trina. Said that. Now, here's the key. This is the key when you want someone to, you want them to say Sports Illustrated because you got to keep your bosses happy.
Right.
If they're just saying me, it's, you got to get some cachet with the boss. So you want Sports Illustrated and then you want your name said correctly, and Howard did it. I liked it better when he played the clip when I interviewed Dog, and he said SI Media podcast. That was great. Well, he said Sports Illustrated podcast, which was good.
Getting a name mentioned from Howard Stern, it does not get, if you're in this business, it doesn't get any better than that.
I have a funny story. Should I tell this story?
Yes, tell it.
So my mother decides she's going to put the video clip of Howard saying my name on her Facebook page. Ridiculous. And I don't respect anyone who uses Facebook. So right off the bat, we've got. So my mother's, then I go a couple of days later, my mother's all livid. I'm like, what's the issue? Someone she's friends with on Facebook put a comment under the video saying, like ripping my mother and saying like, have you no morals? Howard Stern is a pig. And my mother's like, so I said to my mother, I'm like, but who is this? She, and it was like someone my mother was friends with, like in high school or something. I'm like, well, why are you friends with her? Are you friends with her now? No. Well, why are you friends with her on Facebook? I don't know. Why don't you unfriend her? Oh, I can't unfriend her. Well, then don't complain if she puts a dumb comment on your page. That, if you use Facebook, you're a dope. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's like Twitter's horrific on every level. The comments on TikTok are vicious, but there's no one worse than the Facebook user or the Facebook commenter.
I can't even imagine how people deal with that on a daily basis.
Horrific.
That's a great story.
Yeah. All right, Tal. We'll see you next week. Be well.
All right. I'll talk
enjoy
to you later.
Enjoy the off week. No football this weekend.
Yeah, right.
Terrible.
All right.
All right. Later. All right, my many thanks to Chris Berman and Sal Licata. Remember, leave that review on Apple if you want to get in the contest for the Brady Brand underwear. Subscribe to the SI Media with Jimmy Traina podcast and dip into the archives. Listen to some of the recent interviews we've had in case you missed them. Jason McCourty from Good Morning Football last week. Chris Long 2 weeks ago. Troy Aikman 3 weeks ago. All right. Enjoy the week off before the Super Bowl. And we'll see you next week as we get ready for the big game right here on the SI Media with Jimmy Traina podcast. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.